Hello and welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast, examining blended learning throughout the coronavirus pandemic.
Specifically in this episode, the technology of online learning.
I am Charlie, a third year biological science student.
I'm Georgia, a postgraduate film studies student.
And I am Grace, a second year politics, philosophy and law student. And we're really excited to have you here. Hope you enjoy.
My name's Jeff and I'm a PhD student in the Department of Education Studies.
And I'm Harry. I've just finished my first year in the law school. I do law, and that's who I am.
That's great, guys. Thank you. We're really excited to have you.
There are a lot of experiences, at least for me personally, in law that would not otherwise be accessible should the pandemic not have happened. So, for example, everything is now online. I've just had a virtual internship, and it's really enabled me as a person who is quite introverted, quite shy, to connect with these firms effectively in a manner that is on demand and in a manner that is approachable to myself virtually, rather than, for example, let's say having to head down to London, find a place to stay, etc.
Yeah, no, I feel like the sort of opportunities that this year has offered with everything being virtual have been really helpful, I imagine, for a lot of people. And the fact that we don't have to do this whole sort of dance of traveling and trying to find accommodation, the career prospects of that, there's obviously been ups and downs, but I think there's a really interesting dimension to that.
For the large part, I mean, I agree with Harry in many ways that, you know, it's generally been, you know, in terms of the distance learning aspect, it's generally been sort of an enjoyable experience. I haven't found myself sort of feeling down or in any way. I've sort of quite enjoyed just sort of trotting up to my room and connecting, and you have your meeting and then you can sort of, you know, then go about your day. So, you know, I agree with the whole, you know, you called it the dance of traveling. I mean, that, you know, in some ways that aspect is, it's nice not to have that, I think. But then I do sort of find myself in some ways, you know, missing that sociality that you get when you meet in a room with people. From my point of view as a researcher who's sort of finding their way through this sort of new sort of landscape of the sort of the PhD, not having, it's been difficult not having the opportunity to sort of make those sort of personal connections. And I think I'm maybe not going to feel the impact of it this year. You know, the Education Studies Department have been, you know, really great in terms of, you know, trying to create those networks. I'm hoping that they sort of continue face to face. So I'm sort of in agreement and not in agreement, I think, with Harry in that regard.
Yeah, the social aspects that we are missing out on with sort of everything being online, I feel has definitely had an impact on kind of everyone, no matter sort of how you are socially. I think there's a lot to be said about just not being able to have a face-to-face conversation with someone. But with that in mind, I would like to ask you to sort of introduce or discuss how your sort of modules or your research and your interactions with lecturers and other students, how that was sort of organized this year.
Obviously, I had 5 different modules this year in the law school first year. And mostly it was on Microsoft Teams. We had it quite smooth, unfortunately. During the first term, the internet would cut out quite often, but IT services has been very responsive in upgrading our bandwidth for our hall. One of the most challenging experiences, I would say, with one of my modules is trying to create a podcast. So we had to learn a lot about using video editing software, like how to get a recording on Teams and how to pull the audio from that. And it's about working with new technologies and also not being afraid to ask for help, because obviously everyone kind of expects you to know how to use Teams given how long the pandemic's going on. If I'm ever unsure about a function or how to do something, I would definitely reach out to my professors. but also engagement in terms of student engagement. It's extremely difficult to get authentic, genuine feedback on Microsoft Teams, just, you know, a video call. Some people don't really enjoy the format. And it's about getting the engagement of the social experience as well, because obviously in societies, one reason why people join is to meet other like-minded individuals. And events are a bit hard to hold because if we're all online, sometimes there is a lack of incentive to attend.
And Jeff, how has your year sort of been organized?
I suppose in a similar way. I mean, there's not as much sort of online learning that is happening at sort of the PhD level. But I suppose we had the blended learning approach where sort of the lecturers would record aspects on Microsoft Stream, and then we'd have sort of a face-to-face, what you might call a lecture, but more of a sort of a seminar slash discussion. So it sounds like it's organized in a similar way. And I have to say that I agree with Harry in terms of the sort of learning Microsoft Teams and sort of the nuances of that particular program. It's not the most intuitive program to use and get your head around. And I think, you know, I'd come out of primary school education, so I was teaching in primary schools before this, and I think with the majority of schools, or our school in particular, was using Zoom a lot, which, you know, tends to be a little bit more I think accessible to people, and it seems like it has more of a sort of a logical layout to, I think, learning in that way. You know, it's difficult, and I think the difficulty that it sort of throws up is when you are trying to learn things that are quite practical, where you sort of need to be in the room together. I think that is a particular sort of issue with that blended learning than it was. And that's not to take away from the lecturers, you know, that they've had to really, you know, pull out all the stops really to make the past year successful. And I think that is, you know, something that they should be applauded for. The research conferences and things like that, you know, have that has been a relatively positive experience, because it's, you know, the wealth of conferences that are available to you now to attend is amazing, and you can sort of just, you know, attend.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think the level of sort of interconnectivity across sort of multiple spaces that are just normally inaccessible is a really interesting aspect of this kind of being perpetually online that we've all had to experience in the last year. You mentioned, you both sort of talked a bit about Teams, and Jeff, particularly, you sort of also mentioned Zoom. And I think that's one of the interesting things that Warwick has specifically sort of honed in on this year, I think, where we had this whole sort of conversation in the background about Teams and Zoom, and we aren't allowed to use Zoom because it's a security risk. But it also, in general, just seems like a bit of a better a better piece of software than Teams is. And so I was just wondering if you guys had encountered any kind of issues with Teams, and what you thought can be done to sort of combat that, or what you think can't be done at all.
I mean, for me, it's not like I haven't had like major issues with Teams. I suppose it's more to do with, I don't know, it's that feeling that when you've used something else and it just seems more intuitive. And I think that it's not really something you can sort of capture, I suppose, in terms of what's the problem. It's more the case of it just doesn't feel great. It's a bit like, I suppose, when they do like a new iteration of Windows or a new iteration of Android or iPhone, and you think to yourself, well, why have they put that there? That doesn't feel particularly helpful, or, you know, nothing seems to be done in a very helpful way. You're always trying to sort of battle to find the setting or to do the thing that you want to do, which I do find unusual for Microsoft. You know, generally I like Microsoft products. They tend to be quite relatively intuitive, but Teams, I think, has got to go through a bit of work before it's it's at that level, I think. But what do you think, Harry?
Yeah, so I guess there are obviously internet access issues sometimes, especially because my experience using Teams has mainly been in halls on university campus where there may be upwards of 100 students on a call at the same time. Multiplied that by the amount of people on the call, that's a lot of bandwidth going through. But also, I guess there is a background with, for example, technologies and online learning with engagement, because learning isn't just a one-way street. It's not a professor simply putting information on a Moodle page or delivering lectures as a recorded video. There wasn't much engagement in that. Students tend to find that rather dry. And I feel that during some calls, there's been a tendency to just turn the camera off and basically do something else, anything but, you know, focus on the content. One of my lecturers, she does these polls during the lectures and sometimes asks for like chat responses, etc., to make sure that we all pitch in, because again, learning is a collaborative process. It's not a one-way street. And with these technologies, even though, yes, Teams is not the best tool, I think, for online learning, there are smoother tools like Zoom. But it's about leveraging these tools in times of need, such as during the pandemic, to try and drive the same level of engagement as is normal.
Yeah, sorry, I've got like a follow-on question to that. Because during my undergrad, my course was always like, you know, you can lecture capture your content, but it's not going to be the same quality when everything now is basically lecture capturing. But do you think that you would have had a better quality in person? Because in a lecture, from experience, there is also the urge just to go on your phone and tune out the content. Do you think there would have been any difference in engagement?
Obviously, this year I haven't had any in-person lectures. I've had a lot of in-person seminars, though, small groups. And I feel it's different, but you can't necessarily say which one's better. Because with online lectures, and we've got lecture capture, obviously, professors are inclined to explain everything really clearly because they know that's the only avenue that students are going to get the knowledge, get the information. So I think it's about a shift in mindset as well. That they know to explain clearly. But also with regards to lecture capture, we can rewind and watch at our own pace. I know sometimes my mates from second or third year said that sometimes the lecture can go a bit quick, so they're struggling to take down notes. Some of them have to record on their phone, play it back, and then rewrite the notes. Obviously, we don't have to do that. We have the privilege of watching it on Echo 360, which is lecture capture platform, I think, this year. But also with regards to my limited experience of in-person seminars, yes, people sometimes do, especially those who gravitate towards the back of the room, they do tend to just go on their phones and not engage, especially when the content goes a bit fast and they lose track. But overall, the feedback from my peers, at least this year, is with the Echo 360 lecture capture platform, because it's on demand, it's video on demand, so students are a lot more engaged and they spend a lot more time listening to the content and actually getting understand it, which is important.
It's a real double-edged sword, isn't it? I was just thinking back to when I was sort of an undergraduate, like many years ago, and I think if I'd been presented with the sort of the opportunity to sort of do things online, I think it would have just given me the excuse just to go less than I already was. Do you know what I mean? You know, I wasn't really a committed student. I didn't really take education seriously back then. And I think, you know, I can't possibly talk for undergraduates, you know, and in individual, but thinking back to how I was, I think it would have just been a perfect opportunity to just sort of go, you know, whereas I think that need to sort of be in the room maybe helps to create a different mindset. You know, Harry was saying about that sort of two-way street, you know, that learning isn't just sort of here's the knowledge, go away and you'll be fine. I think it sort of fosters in you maybe turning up and being in a physical space, that sort of mindset that you're there to sort of construct knowledge with other people that are sort of like-minded with you. Whereas I think there is that temptation, even now, I think there's that temptation to just go, I'll just turn off my camera and go and quickly grab something. And
I completely agree about it as sort of a double-edged sword. I think on the one hand, it's really nice that that we've been able to be in these kind of very comfortable environments and to be able to almost control our own learning experience, especially with regards to, Harry, what you were talking about with the lectures and the lecture capture and being able to sort of watch it all back. But also this sort of very comfortable environment of just being in your own home and being in your own bedroom and being able to turn the camera off and not really be present is sort of, I guess, a bit detrimental to taking things seriously, I suppose. But with that being said, do you think there's sort of any benefits to having things operate online?
I mean, the benefit for me, I suppose, was that you can just pick it up and put it down when it suits you.
So for me, I guess, again, as mentioned earlier, everything is a double-edged sword when it comes to online learning. Obviously, it is easier for students, especially, I guess, for undergrads who could just do it in the comfort of their own homes and can, for example, watch things back. But it also, sometimes we see people who've just rolled out of bed or are actually doing it, having just woken up seconds ago and are, you know, just getting dressed and getting ready. But also, I guess, a major benefit is permanence. So sometimes knowledge is lost when it's delivered in an in-person lecture format.
Do you think there's a little bit of a day, like for you, that work? Because I get the impression that you're relatively conscientious and that you sort of take your learning seriously. Do you think there's a danger that people will sort of go, well, it's online, I can review that, you know, in the future, and they sort of go, well, I'll put it to one side, but then they don't really go back, and then you get into this cycle of, you know, oh, well, I'll need to go back and review that at some point, but that point never really comes, and then you end up getting to the end of your degree and you think, oh, actually there's quite a few gaps there, maybe in the knowledge that maybe should have been acquired and may have been acquired if there was that expectation that you're in that room.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that happen to a lot of my friends this year in the cohort, where because everything's online and the professors have put everything super clearly, there was a bit of a crunch during exam time where people realize that they've just left it and not reviewed it, simply because they know that there is like this safety net, as you say, that everything is online. I guess that is a big concern, because it's all about how you manage your time. Because now that everything's on demand, you have to have the drive to really demand that content, versus if it was in person, you would have to attend the seminar, assuming that attendance is registered.
Mm. And I think in some ways then that the undergraduate experience this year has become more similar to maybe like a master's experience or a PhD experience, where the emphasis has been sort of thrown back on you. I mean, I suppose it was always there. There's always the expectation that you've got to go and do reading and got to go and do those things. But even to the point where even accessing a lecture is it's on you now.
Yeah, actually, partway through the year, a lot of my peers has actually worked out that you can actually skip the lectures and seminars, and they actually wouldn't know. from then on, especially when we started actually handing in work during the seminars, I did see attendance rates plummet. And obviously, as you mentioned before, the risk is there, because like master's experience, which I haven't had, it's very much self-directed and it's what you make of it. And unfortunately for some, this means that they make of it like a holiday, especially if you're living in halls or your friends are about. It's hard not to say, okay, let's hop to Wetherspoons instead of, you know, sit for a 3-hour property law lecture.
That's a really interesting sort of, I guess, viewpoint, this sort of aspect of it being self-directed, but the direction you can take yourself in, it doesn't necessarily have to be a good one.
The conversation between Harry and Jeff will be continued in part 2, alongside the rest of our episodes in the series discussing blended and online learning at the University of Warwick. But until then, thank you for listening to the podcast, and we will see you next time.